The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God. Stay blessed.
Effectively praying. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we're doing part three of it, and today I want to title the message, Healing the Land. Healing the Land. Please stand with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Our focus will be on verse 14, but let's start from verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard their prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now Solomon had finished building that architectural piece, monumental in itself, of a temple. Following the completion, he decided to dedicate the place to God, because it was God who gave him the strength, the grace, and the capacity to start and to finish. So he organized the priest. And as they came and they were praying, the presence of God came down into the temple. As they were doing the prayer of dedication, and Solomon was saying that if there be farming in the land, and anybody should rush to this place to seek your face, Lord, hear him. If there be pestilence in the land, and anybody should come to the temple to call upon you, Lord, attend to their prayers. And he said, if there be war, and if the sword were against us, and somebody runs here, Lord, grant your people victory. The Bible says, as Solomon was doing the prayer of dedication, the presence of God came down mightily in that place. Solomon had gone ahead to sacrifice to God 21,000 oxen. And he had gone ahead to sacrifice 20,000 sheep, amongst other things. So Solomon went to sleep, and God visited him. And God began to speak to him that I've heard your prayer. The prayer you did during your dedication of the temple has come to me. But there are just one or two things I'd like for you and the people to know, so that the covenant that is between us will be established in times of crisis. And that led to the popular 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. So today I want to do an exegesis on that particular verse. And if we can read it again, verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The Bible said the first point I want to mention is my people. Tell somebody, my people, my people. So the first point is my people. God says, if my people who are called by my name. The word for church in the Greek is the word ecclesia. And ecclesia means the called out ones. The Bible says we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, we have also been called out of death into life. We've been called out of sin into righteousness. We've been called out of curses into blessings. Can I hear an amen? We've been called out of failure into success. We are the redeemed community of God. So we have been redeemed and made a redeeming community. So God did not just redeem us to sit and relax, but he also redeemed us to be engaged in his redemptive process to redeem others through the preaching of the message of salvation. You will notice in one of the books of Corinthians that God was talking about the fact that Israel should come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing, and that he will be God to them and they shall be his people. And he said, I will walk in the midst of you and I will do mighty things in the midst of you. So we are the called out ones. The Bible says, even though we are in this world, we do not belong to this world. Now, every human being was created by God. That fact is established. And every human being bears the image of God. But after Satan came and Adam and Eve succumbed to sin and gave in to sin, God lost us. Let me put it that way. God lost us to sin. So that's why Christ needed to come, so that through Christ Jesus we'll be called back out of darkness into his marvelous light. So although we are all creations of God and we bear the image of God, but not everyone in this world is called. Everybody is expected to respond to the call, but not everyone has responded to the call. So you and I constitute the community of the called out ones. Israel were in Egypt, and at a point in time, God spoke to Moses and said, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. So God was calling them out of that land of captivity, out of that land of bondage, out of that circumstances of adversity, and he was calling them into a land of liberty to take them into the land of promise where they will have the heritage of God. So the first point that I wanted to take notice of is that we are the people of God. And the Bible says, if the people who are called by my name, some have decided to call themselves by name of Satan. So they have the inscription and the logo of Satan tattooed on their bodies. Some have decided to enter into covenants with devils, decided to enter into covenants with occultic spirits. So they have identified openly, unashamedly, and prominently with demonic spirits. But the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, can I hear an amen? And you belong to God, that category, if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ and you have accepted him as your savior and continue to let him lead you as your Lord. So if my people, so there's no doubt about the people that God is talking about. The second point, which is number two, which I like you to take note of, is humility. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. So it's talking about humility here. There are many meanings of the word humility, and I'll give you a few. The first is meekness. Humility means meekness. A meek person does not pay back evil for evil. A meek person does not respond to an insult with another insult. A meek person does not reply to all questions. You were not made to answer all questions. Jesus appeared before the Jewish authorities, and there were questions that were posed, and he didn't answer. The Bible says he was led dumb like a sheep to the slaughter. It was because of the meek part of him. He said, if I had opportunity, I could have called legions of angels to deliver me. But I want to be silent concerning the will of God to be fulfilled in my life. There are people who resist the will of God. They fight the will of God. They oppose the will of God. It's not a mark of humility. A person who is humble embraces the will of God without complaining. Can I hear an amen? God may take you out of Egypt and may lead you through the wilderness. The objective is to take you into Canaan. But while you're in the wilderness, it's part and parcel of the plan of God to take you to the promised land. So you don't fight the will. You don't resist the will. Never on one occasion did we hear Joseph complaining against God, angry with God, that after the dreams that he will become a king, now look at the pitiful life he was living in the cells. So meekness means you don't fight the will of God. You embrace the will of God. Number two, humility also means lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. The Bible says, don't do anything because you are competing with somebody else. Don't do anything because you want to prove a point that you are better than somebody else. At the best, compete with yourself and always desire to excel. But don't do things for vain glory, to be seen, because maybe in the crowd you have not been noticed, so you must do some weird thing and do a loud shout or come and stand and say something to be noticed. The Bible says, let us not do things to get vain glory. But it says we must do things with lowliness of mind. And it says, let each esteem the other than themselves. Now, lowliness of mind is a state of a mind where you are attuned to the way God thinks about you. You don't think below how God thinks about you, and you don't think above how God thinks about you. The Bible says that we must recognize the grace that is working upon our lives and work soberly according to the grace that Christ has dealt with us. So if God calls you a counselor, don't call yourself an apostle. Oh. If God calls you a teacher, don't call yourself a prophet. And if God calls you an apostle, don't call yourself a devotional leader. What God says you are is exactly what you are. And when you walk in the context of that calling, he will lift you up. Because the Bible says God resisted the proud. He fights the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So lowliness of mind has to do with not overestimating yourself, not walking with a bloated image of yourself, and not also considering yourself below what God says you are. You think in line with the scriptures by the grace that he has dealt with you. And the Bible says in that context, you will esteem others highly than yourself. When you meet others, you're not going to let them look at whom you are. You are going to meet them gracefully with an extended hand. And you're going to sincerely say, it's a privilege meeting you, or it's an honor, you know, coming across you today. I am happy. I have heard your name, but today, by the grace of God, I've met you. Now, you don't know the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or you may know the person, but you meet the person with some meekness. Number three, or lowliness of mind. Number three, humility means submission. Submission means to engage in your mission, but under authority. So you are not a lone ranger. You are not doing things by yourself. You are not rebellious. You are not overlooking rules and regulations and authority patterns, but you are submissive and recognizing authority and functional within the context of authority. Even Jesus, whom we serve right now with the greatest name, the Bible says he humbled himself to death. The man was great in the beginning. Remember, he said, Father, show them the glory that I had with you in the beginning. So Jesus' glory was in the beginning, but he was willing to lay the glory aside. And that's why at a point in time, he laid his attire aside and put a big towel around his waist just to wash the feet of his disciples. So we need to be submitted one to the other. Tell the next person, be submitted one to the other. Tell the next person. You can't work on your own. You can't just be your own boss. And as for you, you know more than everybody else. There are some husbands you cannot talk to. Am I preaching the word? Because they know more than their wives, and they know more than everybody else, including their pastor. There are some businessmen you cannot talk to, because they are impervious to wisdom. And they know more than everybody. But submission means that even if you are the boss, Christ is your head. And Christ, also knowing he's the boss, is submitted to God. So while you are submitted to Christ, indirectly you are submitted to God. And while the pastor is submitted to Christ, if you submit to him, indirectly you are submitted to Christ and you are submitted to God. So the authority that should cover you as an individual comes directly from God. That is why when you reject the same authority, God fights you, because it is his delegated authority that that representative is operating. So number one, humility means meekness. Number two, lowliness of mind. Number three, humility is submission. And number four is condescension. Don't, you see, when you look at water, rain comes down, there is heat, and some evaporates into the atmosphere. So hot air rises from the earth and meets cold air at the top. Then there's condensation of water. Am I speaking the truth? And rain falls again. So the same water that came down and went up has the capacity to come down again easily. God says, don't be lifted up and you are hanging in the air, that you are only good for heaven and you are no good for the earth. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Jesus was good for heaven, but he condescended. That's why when you study the book of Philippians, although he was God, he did not hold it as if I'm God. Although you are the husband, you don't hold it, I am the husband. Although you are the pastor, you don't hold it, I am the pastor. Jesus knew whom he was, but he didn't hold on to it. He was willing to take another assignment that looked lower than him. One of the tests of your humility is that sometimes God will give you appointments which you think are below you. Oh, come on. Am I preaching to myself now? And the moment you begin to look at that assignment and say, oh, as for me, the experience I have, this job is for small boys. And you cultivate that attitude toward it, you are missing the target. You are failing in the test of God. Don't be so high that you cannot clean the toilet. Oh. Don't be so high that you cannot take the broom and sweep your own house. Don't be so high that you cannot wash simple dishes. Don't be so high that you cannot serve anybody else. Jesus placed his attire aside, took towel, took water, and began to serve. So humility will make you serve somebody else. Ask the next person, today whom have you served? So number five, meaning of humility, is moderation, to be moderate. There are extremes of life. One extreme is poverty, abject poverty. Live a misery, a life of misery and penury. Another extreme is prosperity, to be so rich that you have so many accounts, about 20 accounts in six figures. You don't even think before you sign a check. The middle way between the poor and the rich, and you have to find a balance. I'm not asking you to throw your money away and come the middle way. But although you are rich, you live a life of simplicity. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. I'm not saying don't dress well. I'm not saying don't put on your best. But you have a certain moderation about your life. If you cannot buy a thing at a time, don't force to get it. If you cannot afford a phone that has features or applications of WhatsApp, use the one that you have. Oh, am I preaching to somebody else? If your attire was of the previous trend and new things have come on the scene, but you cannot afford to change your wardrobe, just continue by the grace of God to use what you have. Can I hear an amen? So some moderation in life will even help you save. Some moderation in life will help you accept yourself and go through that phase of your life that looks difficult. So we need to be humble. And in our humility, meekness must be seen. Lowliness of mind, not ungodly high-mindedness. Submission, working under authority, happily. Not that you feel you are forced and that by now you should have your own. You see, even if you have your own, I am telling you, you will need people to work with. You will need to condescend. Come down. You are the husband. But come down and meet your wife. Come down and play with the children in the house. Be moderate. Don't be excessive in the things that you do. Now, humility is a product of the heart. And when it's practiced over time, it becomes an attitude and eventually is part of your lifestyle. Now, there is a certain grace that works on your inside to help you think soberly according to the grace that God has dealt with you, according to Romans 12:3. There is a certain grace. Humility is a grace. It's not what you manufacture. It is not that you are so good that you are humble. No. But it is simply a certain grace of the Spirit of God which is released to you to understand some things and to conduct yourself in a certain way. That you are not loud, you are not boastful, you are not braggart, you are not shouting every time. But you are taking your time to do things the way you must do it. Can I hear an amen? So when you look at Philippians chapter 2, it tells you that let nothing be done through vainglory and strife. We have just read it. Verse 7 says, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. He had great reputation, but the assignment he took was of no reputation. And sometimes people protect their reputation so much that what about if somebody saw me cleaning the gutter? What about if somebody saw me buying from the market? I'm the husband. I'm the bishop of the house. Bishops don't buy from the market. Huh? You are a bishop buying Willie. If you know how to eat it, you should be able to buy it. Oh, somebody is not clapping for me. If you know how to eat in plates, you should be able to wash it. If you know how to live in a house And by your presence, the floor is dirty. You should know how to clean it. So Jesus made himself of no reputation. Are you in that scripture in Philippians chapter 2? And it says in verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of this, verse 9, wherefore, because of this, God hath highly exalted him and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven, of the things on earth, or the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The way up is the way down. The way to promotion is the way of humility. The Bible says in Proverbs, before honor is humility. So if you are not willing to play the game of humility, no honor will come to you. I've seen people go to family meetings and fight for recognition, fight for respect. Every meeting they will create chaos because there's no respect on them. They have not lived a life where God will lift them. And when they appear, the whole family will see that somebody is coming. Some honorable person is coming. Some distinguished personality has entered. And everybody will just, you know, smile and they say, welcome, sir or madam. So anytime you are giving a tax, don't look at the tax and say it's below me and despise the thing. The Bible says, don't despise the days of your small beginning. Remember, that event may be a direct test on your humility. It may be a direct test on your humility, and God may choose anything that he pleases to test you. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now you are elect of God, you are also holy and loved of God. Bowels of mercies. Be very compassionate. Kindness, be generous. And humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So you must intentionally find the meaning of humility. And you must intentionally meditate on it and endeavor to walk in it. Don't define humility by your own self. Some people have their own humility. Oh, as for me, I'm very humble. But when you step on my toes, then you see my very nature. The fact that you open your mouth and say you are very humble disqualifies you from being humble. Oh, I like it when I hear people talk like that. As for me, I'm very humble. Any work you give me, I will do. I'm very, very humble. No, you are not humble. The fact that you could open your mouth to say you are humble disqualifies you from being humble. You are not humble any longer. Start the lesson again and keep quiet and let God say you are humble. Ask the next person by, are you humble? Are you very humble? That's what I mean. I'm afraid to say I'm humble. I'm waiting for God to pronounce the verdict on my life. I'm working on myself. I'm a work in progress and seeking that God will elevate me one day, that I may shine and my light shall be made manifest in the sight of all. Say amen to the reading of the word. In Luke chapter 18 verse 10, it's a popular parable that Jesus said. Luke chapter 18 verse 10 has to do with the publican and the Pharisee. The publican and the Pharisee. You know, the publicans, they were the tax collectors. So there were people who were seen as corrupt, because they accepted bribe, they inflated the taxes that must be collected, and they took what was illegal gain and put it in their pocket and took the legal one and gave to the government. So the publicans were known as folks who were corrupt. and therefore sinful. But the Pharisees were people who believed that they were there. So you will see in what Jesus brought forth, verse 10 of Luke chapter 8, two men went up into the temple to pray. Two men, who? The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You see, he prayed with himself, not the Holy Ghost. There are certain that are people pray with themselves. God, you know, and they have this voice, theological voice. God, I thank thee that I'm not as the other men are, extortionists. Now he was referring to the publican, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13, and the publican standing, the tax collector standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to Jesus' verdict in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Sometimes we all come into this temptation where you feel that you have served God for so many calendar years, and that why did some other person come? He came 5 years ago. You have been 90 and a half years in Christ. And then suddenly the person got a breakthrough and a miracle. You probably know the lifestyle of the person, that the person in the world was a near prostitute, and then she came into the house, and somehow what you were looking for, you haven't got it, but it was given to her. The tendency is that when you go into prayer, you compare yourself. Father, I've lived pure for you, and I've done evil. Even those who aborted children and have done evil, you have given child to them. How much more me? Now, you may be making a nice argument, but your attitude is wrong. You know, a child may be deserving of something. The child may be deserving of some money or a snack. But the way the child comes will tell you whether this child is arrogant or humble. And in my house, you don't come and ask me something with a frown face. Every time you can, daddy. No. If you learn that, you will get it wrong with God. You will get it wrong at your workplace. You will get it wrong with your boss. You will get it wrong with your spouse. So you need to be corrected. You can't go and ask for things with a frown face. I'll let you straighten your face nicely before I attend to what you are asking for. So tell the next person, smile when you are making a request. So the Pharisee was arrogant. He had his self-righteousness. He was looking forward to his prayer being answered based on his righteousness. The Bible says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Running means activities, all night prayer meetings. They are good, they are not bad. Long fast, they are good, but they are not bad. But the miracle does not depend on all this. It depends on the mercies of God. Somebody says that people in my family are dead and I'm not dead because I'm very prayerful. The Bible says it is because of his mercies we are not consumed, and not because of your prayers. It may be true you are praying, but your inclination is wrong. It is because of his mercies. That is why you are where you are. Not because you were so intelligent and you were so sharp, and when you were in school you made 7 A's and the project work and you were given summa cum laude, and you were smart. There were smarter people than you, but they got mad and they are in the asylum. If you are well today, you have to lift up your hands in praise, in adoration to the Most High God. It is not because you have been serving God for long and that because you are diligent and you attend every service. Some people may not attend the services, but they will be breaking through because it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But it's God who showeth mercy. If you believe you are receiving mercy today, make the clap bigger so your mercy will be bigger. Let the shout be tumultuous so your mercy, it's mercy. His mercies are renewed on each day. You may think I'm down and out. You may think I'm finished. You may think I've come to my wit's end, but the hand of God is there to support me. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. It didn't say, go and humble yourself under some allergy. It didn't say, go and humble yourself under some ungodly boyfriend or a sugar mommy. It didn't say, go and humble yourself under some politician so that he would do you favor. It said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Have you been humbling yourself sincerely under the hand of God? It didn't say, humble yourself under somebody else's husband so that he will support you and pay your school fees. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It takes humility to pray. The people who wake up and they don't pray, they are very proud because they are saying that they can handle their lives by themselves. But the fact that you pray is not entirely because you are praying. Do you know Jesus is at the right hand of the Father? That when you are not praying and you are asleep, Jesus is praying for you. You know, there are some moments you cannot even really pray because of the heaviness of the burden. But Christ on the right hand of the Father is praying for you. Sometimes I wake up and I sense a burden the day before that I need a certain dimension of intercession. But by reasons of activities, I'm not able to achieve that dimension. And the following day as I walk, I sense a certain liberty in my spirit. And I sense somebody must have been praying for me. It may be your mommy, it may be your daddy, it may be your cousin, it may be a prayer warrior, it may be a friend, it may be Christ. As for me, I don't need the prayer of anybody. It's God who blesses me. No, you're wrong. As for me, it's God who called me and only he will bless me. No, read the Bible. The Bible says, and they called Paul and who? Silas. They call them. They release them into ministry. It's the church which will release you. Don't say that as for you, you called yourself. You will appoint yourself, anoint yourself. Then preach to yourself. Are you there? Don't be a wife that does not submit. Sometimes it's easy not to submit. Sometimes it's easy when you have a little more money than your husband, then your powers come. When your husband invites you in the evening, say, oh, let's let's sissilize ourselves a little. Oh, if your name is Sissy, then you say, no. Sister, humble yourself. I don't need to shout for you to humble yourself. I'll speak with a tender, nice voice and say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. So the Bible says, so let's get back to the text, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If the people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray. So number three is pray. Supplicate. Bring their petition before me. Say specifically what they want on the basis of my word, and I shall honor them. That they pray an effectual prayer. They pray with zeal and enthusiasm. They pray in faith. They pray applying the principles of the word. They learn how to wait for the answer as they supplicate. If they will pray, the Bible says you have not because you pray not. And it says when you do, you even do ask amiss to consume on your own lust. In other words, you ask for very selfish reasons. You are not asking to be blessed, to be a blessing to the church. But you are asking to be blessed so that you just be a blessing to yourself. So pray. Number four, seek my face. Now, supplicating is one thing. Taking your petition to God is one thing. But seeking the face of God is a higher gear. So it says, seek my face. That expression, my face, means my approval, my favor. Seek my face. The word seek in the original means to search out. Number two, it means to strive after. The Bible says there's the broad and the narrow way. And in order to go through the narrow way, you have to strive. You have to force. Number three, seek means an inquisition. You're making an inquiry. Something happens. Somebody dies suddenly. They don't know what killed the person. Nobody was there. They try to find out. They look at the body, whether the body was strangled. They take the person to the hospital. They take samples of fluids and blood from the person to analyze. They are looking for what may have happened. They go to the scene and look around whether there was a struggle with another person or whether there was a knife or a bullet. Whatever it is, they are trying to find out. Seeking presupposes that the answer is not commonplace. The answer is not readily available, but can be found. And many Christians don't want to seek. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and the door shall be opened. It says, seek and ye shall find. So seeking goes just beyond the petition. It may employ you staying a little longer. It may possibly mean combining prayer with fasting. It may mean spending longer hours studying the word to discover a revelation, a truth. It may mean worshiping the Lord more so his presence falls upon your life. It may mean serving him and committing yourself so that you honor that scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible didn't say, ask ye first the kingdom of God. It says, seek. Look out for. There was a time when we were told that you could easily find gold on the surface of the earth in Ghana. So that's why this place was Gold Coast. But now you have to dig into the ground, into the bowels of the earth. You have to get the requisite tools. You have to take your time and isolate rock from rock and make a determination of which rock contains the gold and find ways of exploiting the gold. So it takes a little more to find out why in your family everybody is poor. It takes more than the casual observer. It doesn't just take a prophet saying, I see three demons. Fine. After seeing the thing, you must seek that those demons will leave. So being told what the problem is only one aspect of the thing. Oh, they say I have spiritual marriage. It's just one aspect of the thing. The next step is to seek. Am I getting something across to you? And it takes an effort. Prayer is a serious business. That's why I respect people who pray. It is not a cheap thing. You know, people can talk. Be in conversation chat, talk about so many things, talk about their boyfriends, talk about the market, talk about Easter cloth, talk about so many things. So they'll do pastries. But when it comes to prayer, The devotional leader would take 10 minutes to give one prayer topic. After people pray for 2 minutes, then they digress. Prayer is a serious business. That's why the Bible says that we must give honor to those who labor in word and in prayer over you. It is not a small business. You are fighting demons which have fought families over the years. That's why it says when such a person ministers to you spiritual things, it is normal to write checks of 5,000 CDs, $10,000, and give to them. You minister carnal things to them. It is normal to give a car together with the documentation. It should be normal for you to present a land with a title deed to the one who is ministering spiritually. That's what the Bible says. Prayer is not for lazy people. Sometimes politicians talk as if church was easy. You do it. They may die prematurely. If they like, they should try. Having to read about the seven sons of Sceva who saw Apostle Paul preaching under tremendous power and they decided to be copycats and they were copying him. You know, some people can copy. But make sure that the anointing is behind before you copy that person. Saying, they can copy. They can look at the preacher and really copy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with copying, but copy the prayer life first. Copy the word study life first. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. People have been very selective in the services. They don't want to come early for prayer. They want the chief part, the very cheap part, supposedly. When you say it's prayer meeting, they don't want it. When you say prophetic service, the room will be full. And so, Pastor, why doesn't he bring prophets these days? I'm a teaching prophet. I tell you the word by teaching you with my two eyes open. I can tell you the end of a marriage by my eyes open. Without seeing a cockroach or an antelope. You must know your call and walk within your call. As I speak, God speaks prophetically through me. If you have ears, you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. So seeking is serious business. For somebody to break down the word, he must find time to study. It's not cheap. You must get the relevant materials. You must know where to go to find the book. You must know what it means. If you don't know what it means, you must find it. Because that's why you are the teacher. And I'm interested in looking for scriptures that has been used and people don't quite understand it. And I want to understand it first and use it for myself. And thereafter explain it to people. Oh, by the time I finish, you should know 2 Chronicles 7:14. Often, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, seek the favor of God, seek the approval of God before you take that woman. Don't go and take a woman according to your own statistics, according to your own mind. And when you finish, you blame God for giving you a terrible woman. If you go and pick the wrong thing, the person will come like Shatawale's kakai. Brothers don't want to seek. They just look and say, she's beautiful. Man, don't you see that when we are walking together and people see us in town, the principal streets of Accra, they say, yeah, this is the baby, brother. You got it. You got it, man. Yeah, you got it, man. You got it, man. Man. No, you didn't get it, God. But you got it, man.
You don't need prophecy twice. When you get one, you should work on it. Some of you have been piling up prophecies for nothing. You are not praying. You are not seeking the face of God. You must fight some battles. So when your children come, they will walk free. David fought battles. Solomon walked free. David lacked food to eat. Solomon, he could organize a party for the whole nation for 1 week and extend it. Let the head of state organize party for Accra. You will see the World Bank will come and say, hey, is that how you people are living? Solomon did. It didn't affect his coffers. So you must ask, why is it that in my family, there are so many uneducated people? Why is it that in my family, people get corrupted with particular sicknesses which affects them later? Why? So what must I do? That's why you start seek. Somebody must stand in the gap and seek the face of God and commit the person's life to prayer. When we were in the university, we woke up to go and pray before we touch our books. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, make time for God. Seek means keep on keeping on. I like when they say, the president of that country is seeking for re-election. It means it is not easy. Now he has to go from chief to chief, from elder to elder. He has to move from village to hamlet, speak 6 times a day in 3 different locations. He has to stand and have a manifesto and communicate the manifesto. People will attack him, his integrity. He must fight back. He must ensure he persuades people, convinces people why they must vote for him. He's seeking for re-election. Another person is seeking for the office. And some of you are not seeking for re-election. When you are elected and God promotes you, then you go and sleep. And somebody else re-elects himself to displace you. May that not happen in your life. Oh, can I hear an amen? And sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you know, it's because I don't have money. If you don't have money, pray. Pastor, there's no food at home. Well, pray, because you have no cooking to do. Pastor, I haven't got money to transport myself. Walk. You are not serious. Somebody will say, oh, yeah, ni edoko. Wanimbriye. You are not taking your destiny into your hands. If you see somebody having sought God's face, it gets to a level where the person walks in a certain grace. That's why you miss it. Your pastor can walk in a certain grace. For instance, he can walk in a certain grace of international travels. You can go and get connection men, 45 connection men, pay them, and God may just shut the door. So seek to walk in that grace. Your pastor may be walking in a certain grace by God's grace in marriage. Seek to have that grace. Don't just be a passenger in church. Seek to have some anointings. Find time when you take your leave. Don't just go and sit at home and relax and cook and clean the house. Plan to see God's face before you go back. So they seek my face. And what's the next thing? If my people who are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. Number two, what? Pray. And number three, what? And do what?
seek my face. And number four, what? And turn from where? And turn from where? Turn from is the word repentance. And repent, make a total turnaround. From their wicked ways, the word wicked in the original means bad or evil or mischievous or wretched ways, as in the sight of God. So if they would turn from their bad ways, from their evil ways, mischievous ways, their wretched ways. You remember, a servant was described as a wicked one. Why? Because when the master was about to travel, he called some of them and gave them talents. The one who was given five invested and it doubled. The one who was given three invested and it also doubled. But the guy who was given one, he despised it. It was a test on his humility. I keep telling you, God may give others 10, but he will give you one to start with. He picked it up, wrapped it in a napkin and buried it in the soil. I mean, as if, master, away with you. When the master came back, he said, you could have invested it in the bank and would have yielded some interest, but you are a wicked chap. That is why you have done this. So what the Bible may describe as wicked may not be what you describe as wicked. In other words, if you are sitting on your gift, you are sitting on your talent, you are not making humanity benefit from it, the church is not benefiting from it, in God's sight, you are being wicked. Because he gave you the gift to liberate, to help people, to motivate, encourage people, to establish people, to take people out of the woods and bring them into the city. There is also another scripture that describes a wicked person. The Bible says the wicked man borroweth and payeth not back. There may be times you borrow once and you forgot because of circumstances. Genuinely. And if you remember, you rush to the place. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot it. Maybe the person likes you and didn't want to bother you. But to deliberately borrow and make up your mind before you borrow, say, me, I will never pay. This guy is a fool. He will give me the money right now. He will give me the money right now. And when he gives me, he won't find me. I have a second chip. I will change my number. If I intend to move out of my locality, I found a new accommodation somewhere else. The Bible says the wicked man borroweth. Don't let God put such a tag on you. Don't let God put that such a tag. It will fight your prayer life. So say, and they repent from their wicked ways. If a man decides to serve an occult instead of God, he's indulging in wickedness in the sight of God. If a man decides to engage in sacrifices that are ritualistic in nature and involves human parts, so has to kill somebody else before he procures that part to use, such a person is living a wicked life, leading a wicked life. Can I hear an amen? We are not saying be pregnant out of wedlock, but if you do, bring forth. It's only a wicked man who encouraged the lady to go and abort. It's only a wicked woman who will go to the doctor to throw out the baby. Wickedness. The Bible says if we repent from our wicked ways, the other wickedness we do in low places. Wickedness of speaking evil against others. And sometimes some people know how to whisper. The Bible says a whisperer separated chief friends. So if you are a whisperer, you are destroying relationship. One day somebody will pronounce something on you. It will work. Because you are dividing brother from sister. You are dividing husband from wife. You are a whisperer. The Bible says mark them that cause division amongst the church. Separate yourself from them. Have nothing to do with them. Because there are some people who whisper.
They do that to get favor. Sometimes they want money. Oh, let me be frank. Sometimes they want food. And so, this story, can you find something for me just to go? Why don't you ask for that something and go your perfect way? But you have to go and narrate negative story about another person as if you love the person. So what I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. You are a wicked person. And I watch you from afar. You must not whisper things to separate pastors. You must not whisper negative things to separate husband and wife. You must not separate siblings. If you can't build it, don't destroy. If you can't mend it, don't tear it. In counseling, it's my principle. If I can't help the two people, I don't start at all. I have had cases where maybe a man traveled and he's abroad, probably studying, and the wife he married is here. And she hasn't done anything, but people find all kinds of stories in order to displace and tell and poison the person's mind. You must have your mind of your own, which God influences. Are you hearing me? I didn't hear an amen. You let somebody talk you out of your nice, godly relationship? Well, if that is what you want, fine. There are things that God will make you hear because he wants you to pray for somebody. That's different. There are things God will want you to hear because he wants you to help somebody. That's different. But there are some things you don't go and tell somebody's husband. And you don't go and tell somebody's wife. Mind your own business. The former president said, Zewufie Asim. Oh, I like the fantasy. Zewufie. That's why I'm a little difficult to handle, because you can't impress me with those stories. And so people find attitude against you. This man, no. I don't want you to separate me from anybody. Don't separate me from Reverend Paul. Don't separate me from Reverend Hyde. Don't separate me. Don't separate me. I think you should be clapping. You should be clapping. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and repent. And repent. Turn from their wicked ways. Repent. To be rebellious is a wicked way. To dishonor your parents is a wicked way. To rebel against the authority of the church is a wicked way. To neglect your children and refuse to be responsible for their welfare is a wicked way. To marry and to leave the woman to suffer and to go ahead and say you have found another sweetheart is a wicked way. I'm preaching softly today. It's a wicked way. Somebody was selling a car, and another person said, can I have a try, because I want to buy a car. The person jumped into the car and drove the car away up to now. Some people allow visitations of evil to continue in their homes just by the things that they do. Somebody gave you a place to sleep, gave you food to eat, and treated you like one of them at home. And one day you felt like leaving the house on your own, and you selected the best things in the house, collected it, and put it in a rubber bag, and came. You are a wicked person. You know you won't marry her. And you know at the back of your mind, you love another lady somewhere else. But when you meet her, say, oh, Charlie, you're sweet.
when I see you, I get feelings for you. You are the one and only one. The mosquito in my mosquito net. The sugar in my house, Akuku. You were and you are. I love you, darling. Baby, Tigo 3 hour, cool it, man. You know that there's another woman you love, and you intend to marry that woman 6 months away. So you intend to dump this one in 2 months now. You're a wicked person. You are a very wicked person. You didn't have anything, and your then fiancé supported you so that you will finish your education. While she was supporting, you knew at the back of your mind that she hasn't gone to university and that she finished standard 7. You know it already, yet you accepted the sponsorship package. Now, when you graduated, you start finding fault, non-existent fault with her. The same godly woman who loved you and sacrificed to make you a better person. Now you say she's not qualified and that she cannot even speak English language. The English she couldn't speak was the English that sponsored you. You are a wicked man. There are some sisters, they know they won't marry that guy. But they just want to enjoy the fruits of the person's labor. They want to be, fixed, and they want the guy to spend and spoil them. They want to enjoy the rides. They want the guy to sign checks for them, say, darling, anytime their mobile phone credits runs out, then they change their faces and say, Sisi, what am you all? They know that that guy, they will never marry him. Then they say in their hearts, look at his face. You will marry me. Then they go say, I need money. They put pressure on you. Brothers, be smart. Open your eyes. Brother, open your eyes. Shine your eyes. Wicked sisters, wicked brothers. He said, if they would turn from their wicked ways, then number 6, I will hear their prayer. God is saying, Solomon, you have done well. You have done all this dedication. You have lifted my name high. You have worshipped. You prayed and continued with worship. You sacrificed. And my presence came overwhelming. I'm confirming with my word that I'm identifying with this place. But these are the conditionalities that you must follow. You want your prayer answered? You must follow the pattern. You want God to hear you every time? Go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, I will hear their prayer. God's ears are not shut, neither are his hands shut. But his ears are tender from the prayers of the wicked. But his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So he will hear you. Tell somebody he will hear you. Oh, let there be more confidence in what you say. Say, God will hear your prayers. God will hear you. He will hear you. Number 7, he says, and I will forgive their sins. He will be merciful to you. May God be merciful to us. We cannot stand the wrath of God. We cannot stand the condemnation of God. We cannot stand the judgment of God. God, if you throw us away, there is no place we can hide. Oh, Father, we ask for your mercy. Exempt us from hell. Exempt us from judgment in this life. Exempt us from destruction, oh God. Show your loving kindness to us. Forgive us and get us back on track. In Hebrews, he says, and I will forgive their sins and cleanse their unrighteousness. Number 8, and I bring the message to the close. And that brings us to the title of the message, healing for the land.
Number 8, and I will heal their land. And I will heal their land. There is healing for the land.
Tell somebody there's healing for your land.
There's healing.
The word heal in the Hebrew means to mend or to stitch together. Number 2, it means to cure.
So God is simply saying, I will mend that which is torn. I will stitch together that which went apart. I will cure any infirmities, figuratively speaking, that has plagued the community. The land may refer to the nation. The land may refer to your community. The land may refer to your family. The land may refer to your business. The land may even refer to your life. There are situations that sometimes disaster strikes. There are certain situations where there are bubonic plagues and crop failures and farming and extreme poverty and winds of adversity blow against the people of God. And as it were, the land is not able to sustain its inhabitants. But God says, I will hear your prayer and heal the land. If something has been thrown against your family and people are dying and you don't understand 2 Chronicles 7:14, if the people which are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, their financial deprivation shall be healed. Your business that is on the downturn shall be healed. Healing is coming to the house of God. Oh, I see God rising on the wings of healing and ministering to the church by his spirit, that where we lack, he will compensate us. Where we are inadequate, his adequacy will make us adequate. Where we fall short, he will give us the standard that we will work with by his spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. That every kind of plague, every kind of disease that perennially has affected you, every kind of corruption and negative works of the enemy which have inflicted your community, today by the spirit of God, I declare them arrested, I declare them overpowered, I declare them subdued, I declare them cast away and bound by the hand of God. Anything that is fighting you, may the Lord fight it. Anything that is opposing you, may the Lord oppose it. Anything that wants to subdue you, may it be subdued and written away from your life. I declare by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is salvation for you. There's redemption for you. That which sold you out to slavery, you have been bought back at a price, so you will glorify God in your body. I declare that we sold you out to premature death, Christ has paid the price, so you are delivered from premature death. That we sold you out to accidents and calamities and evil incidents, by the power of God, by the power in the blood of Jesus, by the tokens of the blood, your life shall be delivered from the horrible pit. I declare healing is coming to the house by the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And any sickness, disease that seeks to plague your life today, we cancel it. Judgment against you. We plead the mercies of God. May mercy prevail in the place of judgment. May Satan not get the final laugh, but may the church of Jesus Christ get the final laugh. Oh, power of God, turn our captivities and the tide to favor us. Overturn the tables against, oh God, the magicians and the sorcerers and the satanic agents, oh God. Let deliverance be wrought by your mighty hand. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We humble ourselves that your hand shall warfare for us, that your hand shall battle, that your hand shall attack the enemy, that your hand shall destroy by the power of God.
God, anything in our destiny that Satan seeks to attack or corrupt or suspend, today our destinies are redeemed by the power of Almighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ, no life shall be wasted away, no destiny shall stray away, oh, no purpose shall be lost that is ordained of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we trample under our feet the powers of the devil, for we see it fall like lightning from above. Deliverance is coming to the house. No demon shall claim marriage to you. No demon shall contest with you over any facet of your life. Oh, Makataya, they lose grounds. Enemy loses territory. Enemy loses power. Enemy loses activity. For they shall be frustrated and paralyzed, made impotent and ineffective by the power of God. As since the hand of God coming upon our lives, a new anointing, a new grace of prayer, the stirrings and the quickenings of God. But if the same spirit that raised up Christ dwell in our mortal body, then we shall not have no sperm count. We shall not have any defection in our blood. We shall not have any kind of ailment hiding in our body. The quickening spirit of Christ Jesus shall quicken our mortal body. The power of God shall begin to work. Oh, no womb shall be declared barren. It is forbidden. Whether they are married or not married, I minister to them today. No womb shall be declared barren, especially them that want the fruit of the womb. I address that situation. I address that corruption and remove it by the power of God. I take it out. I take it out. I break the yoke. For by reasons of the anointing, shall every yoke be broken. Mia stokataya. I yell at the kuakataya. Ya biando kaya.
Thank you for listening to this message. We sincerely hope you are blessed. For more information on these podcasts, email us at tetejangma@yahoo.com or call us on 0249-333-575. Stay blessed.